Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open your Bibles up to Acts, the sixth chapter. And if anyone does not have the blue lesson guide, if you raise your hand, somebody will bring you one. And that way you can follow along in our Bible study. We have been in a series of messages entitled, If They Could Speak. And we're looking at different people from the Scripture. And we're kind of asking the question, what would they say to us today if they were here with us right now and could speak? And we're taking it from the passages in the Bible where they did speak and where we saw them live their life out. And so tonight I've chosen Stephen as our subject because Stephen was the first deacon. He's the first one mentioned as a deacon, taken from this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 6. But before we get into that, I want to review all the other ones, and I did a little different tonight. I made the blank the name of the person that we studied. So, number one, the person's life lesson was the battle is the Lord's. Who was that person? Anybody know? All right, the kids know. They know. They're bringing their cheat sheets from the weeks before, okay? All right, the message, finish well. Who said that? Paul, that's right. Now, adults, you're welcome to pipe in here. I'm only hearing the little ones here. All right, here we go. You meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Who said that? Joseph, very good. Never give up on people. Who said that? Barnabas. He's the one that gives us that message. Do right and leave the results to God. Who said that? Esther. Her life was exemplified that message. And then sin blinds, binds, and grinds. That was who? Samson. That's right. Number seven, he must increase and I must decrease. That was who? John the Baptist. Very good. Purpose in your heart before the battle. Who was that? Very good. Very good, Daniel. And then last week we studied this person who basically taught us this lesson. God will never give up on you. That's exactly right. Peter. So adults, I'm going to expect a little bit more out of y'all next week. I just want you to know, okay? Now, I want us to think about Stephen. I want us to think about, as I'm right here front and center with these three brand new deacon candidates, it's exciting to get to preach this close. Man, I like this. This is good. I can see the whites of your eyes right here. But here we have a passage of Scripture where we see the deacon ministry begun. Now, I want to say this. The word deacon is never mentioned in this passage. And yet, most Bible scholars find that this is the place where we see the deacon ministry begin. So let me read this. This is Acts chapter 6, and I'll read verses 1 through 7. Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. Those were Jews, by the way, that had left and they'd come back. They were Greek-speaking Jews. Because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, and that's who our subject is tonight, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Number one, the need for deacons. One of the needs is we need unity. So letter A is the word unity. The first blank in the line there is the word need, the need for deacons. You see, there was a dispute. Now, if you have a complaint, I want you to take it directly to our deacons. I don't want to know about it. Because seriously, one of the great blessings of deacons in a church is that deacons help put oil and salve and healing on difficulties. And can I tell you this? I'm not necessarily a young man. Gosh, it's hard to say that. But anyway, but I have not been a pastor but 6 years. And can I say this to you, that this part of what a deacon ministry is all about, I have seen true in my life. Our deacons here have been a great blessing to me in helping in difficult times and when there's difficult decisions to make and difficult needs in the people to be met. And this is exactly what happened. Look, in verse 1, the disciples were multiplying. There arose a complaint. There was a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. The Greek-speaking Jews had come back, and their widows were evidently neglected when they were feeding the people. And so there was a complaint. And so they needed deacons for that reason. And the letter B under that number 1, the word there in the blank is just the word ministry. Because what happened is they were doing a distribution. They were ministering to the people. They were ministering to the congregation. And the congregation was growing. What's exciting is that we need these deacons. These deacons right here, first of all, they're going to give us some good-looking youth on our deacon group, okay? That was meant to be funny. But anyway, I don't know. You didn't take it that way. But my point is, these young men are going to be a blessing in our group. But one of the things that they're going to be one of the ways they're going to be a blessing is that ministry will be enhanced because they're on our team. Ministry to the congregation, ministry in the life of our church will be enhanced. Number 2, we see the search for deacons. In verse 3, it says there, says this, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So there's a search for deacons, and we have a process in our church family in which our deacons go about that search, and we have recommendations from the congregation, and then there's our spiritual awareness committee is involved in that. And anyway, there's a search. Well, who are we to search for? We're to search for men of good reputation, upstanding men who are respected and who are loved by the congregation and who are a credit to the kingdom of God. You know, you have debits and you have credits, and Lord, help us as leaders and help our church family as believers be a credit to the kingdom of God. Amen? We all should aspire that when folks see our lives, they look at our lives and they say, you know, Jesus Christ is real. I see it in that person's life. And that's what a deacon is to do in a body of Christ. And they are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to take your scripture there, hold your place in Acts 6, and go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. You get 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and then you go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 8 through 13. 1 Timothy 3, 8 through 13, because Paul speaks directly about deacons. Likewise, deacons must be reverent. That word means worthy of respect, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And so there is a search for deacons that takes place, and we're so thankful that in that process in the life of our church, we have found these three candidates for the deacon ministry. Number three, you see the organization of the deacons. The organization of the deacons. Because we see this in our passage back in Acts. Turn back into Acts chapter 6. The organization of the deacons. The end of verse 3 says this, they're full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The apostles were preaching and the gospel was spreading, and they were preaching the words of Jesus Christ to the lost world, and people were getting saved. And there was this difficult thing that happened where there were some that were being neglected, so they enlisted these deacons, these servants. And I tell you, when you think about the way deacons are organized, assignments are made. Now, I will tell you this. In the life of our church, we have what we call a deacon family ministry plan. And by the way, Justin's dad, Wayne, is our outgoing chairman. We just had a change in our chairman of deacons, and Wayne Thomas was our chairman, and Gene Prince was our vice chairman, and these men did an outstanding job, and I just want to thank them for the way they organized our deacons. Paul Waters is our current chairman. He was just elected to be our current chairman, and Robert Prevett is the vice chairman. And so I wanted you to know that they're organized. But one of the things they do is they make assignments, in the sense that every family in the life of our church has a deacon. Now, if you said to me, Pastor, I'm not sure who my deacon is, well, let me say this. They're probably someone who's ministering to you and who is greeting you and knows about your family and keeps up with you. You may not just know they're your deacon. I want you to know they're your deacon. And deacons, we need to make sure that all of our families know that you're their deacon. But I want you to know that every family under the life of this church has a deacon that is assigned to them. Because you notice at the end of verse 3, that whom we may appoint over this, there has to be organization. And I'm thankful that in our ministry here, that is done. So there's assignments that are made. There are needs that are being met in service to the people of the body of Christ. And I'll say this, and just to be as frank about it as I know to be, this deacon body and these men here will enable me to spend a little more extra time in the Word of God. Because Sunday by Sunday, and believe me, as a pastor, you know what I've realized? Sunday keeps coming. You know, in preacher talk, we have what we call our sugar sticks. Now, you may have never heard that phrase, but among preachers, they have messages that, you know, I always, these evangelists, man, they have it great. Because they have five or six great messages, they stick them in their Bibles, and man, they go to a new congregation. Well, that congregation's never heard that great message that they've hammered on, and they've got the best illustrations and everything. And so anyway, I don't have that luxury. I'm giving the morning message, I'm giving the evening message, and I'm giving Wednesday night to our prayer meeting, and Lord willing, every one of them needs to be a fresh message from the Lord. Amen? That was a weak amen. I hope I'm getting there. But anyway, but let me say this. You know, in order to do that, it takes a lot of study. And these deacons enable me. It doesn't mean that it forfeits my obligation to ministry with the people, because can I tell you this? That's my heart anyway. I love being with the people of our church. But I will say this, in order to stand up and give a Bible sermon that is a fresh message from the Lord, that is not done in just a couple of hours. It takes hours to develop that. And our deacons enable me to do that. And quite frankly, because our church has set our ministry up with our group of deacons the way they have, the church family has graced me with the ability to study and use major hours of my time in Bible study and preparation. So this is what happens. The deacons are organized. There are assignments made. There are ministry of service that is done in the lives of our people. And then it enables me to spend time in the Word of God and in prayer. Number four, the blessing of the deacons. In verses 5 through 7, he names those that have been chosen. It says at the beginning of that verse, and the saying pleased the whole congregation. You know, the blessing of unity. That blank there is the word unity again. It seems like that whenever you think about leaders in the church, it always comes back to an issue and the blessing of unity. And so the scripture says that whenever they decided they were going to enlist these deacons, that the whole saying pleased, the whole church, the whole multitude. We see the blessing of unity, the advancement of the word. Because if you look at verse 7, it says this, as a result of them choosing these seven in Acts 6, Stephen being one of them, then the word of God spread. So our prayer tonight is as a result of us ordaining these three men, God's word will spread. Amen, church? That it will spread through our lives and we can be more effective in getting the gospel to people. And then it says, and the number of the disciples multiplied. So you see their spiritual multiplication as the blank there, multiplication. So the blessing of the deacons. Now, specifically, Stephen was chosen. So just on this very last point, I want to draw our attention to the life of Stephen. Look at verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. And you know, our prayer is that God would anoint these men and all of our deacons to be men of great wisdom, men of anointing, men that their spirit God uses them powerfully. Verse 11, then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. Let me say this about Stephen. Now, I hope and pray this doesn't happen to our deacons here, and I hope and pray it doesn't happen to these men. But it happened to Stephen, and one thing that you may want to, and all of us as Christians, brace ourselves for is that Stephen encountered opposition. I mean, it's just a fact that when you stand for Jesus Christ, then you're going to come into contact with folks that oppose that position of putting your faith and trust in Jesus. So Stephen encountered opposition, but what did he do? Now, we're not going to read all of this, but I want you to, in your own mind, mark down that chapter 7, verses 1, all the way through the end of it, is basically the longest sermon in the book of Acts. That's what happens when you let a deacon preach. It's the longest sermon. You think I'm long. You think I'm long. Wait till you hear a deacon preach. But anyway, but no, he preached this message, and it was powerful. He shared the gospel, but I want you to know this about Stephen. Stephen made an enduring impact upon lives. Look at verses 54 through 60. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. This is talking about those that opposed Stephen. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saul was a persecutor of the church. And by the way, in verse 59, they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen was opposed greatly. But Stephen made an enduring impact. And I have seen this. Can I say this in my own life? I had Sunday school teachers that were deacons growing up, and they faithfully came after me as a teenage boy, even as a child. In the children's work, they came after me. When I was a senior in high school, there's a fella that was an elderly man that had been teaching teenagers. When he retired from teaching teenagers, he had taught them for 50 years. He was my teacher. I can't tell you a lot that Brother Marshall said in terms of repeating the actual words, but I know this, as a teenage boy wondering, was I really going to give myself wholly and fully to Jesus? There were many, many Sundays that as he began to teach about Jesus, his lip would begin to shake and quiver, because every time he talked about Jesus, he had such a passion and love for him. And I remember thinking as a young man, I want to have a relationship with Jesus like that man. Brother Marshall was a faithful man. And I tell you, in this church, as a college student, men, some of you even in this room right now, as deacons, impacted me. Stephen laid his, they laid the garments of Stephen when they stoned him at the feet of a man named Paul, a man named Saul, who became Paul. 13 New Testament books have been given to us through the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, impacted by a deacon. So I want to say to these men right here, the way you live, the things you say, God will use your commitment to Jesus Christ to make an enduring impact. And we see that in the legacy of so many. But Stephen paid the ultimate price. So here's what I would say at the very bottom as we close. Be faithful to Jesus at all cost. If Stephen, I believe, if he was here, Stephen would say, be faithful to Jesus Christ at all cost. The Bible says that this group, they laid their hands on them and set them apart. I want you to know that in the Scripture, there is not something magical that happens when you lay hands on someone. It is the setting apart of someone for a specific task. We see it many times in missions when people are headed to the mission field. There's a prayer time where their hands are laid upon them. And tonight, we want to lay hands upon these three men as we separate them for the office of deacon in the New Testament church here at North Central Baptist Church.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.